Do you want us to work or don't you? Go over and see that man and get this fixed up. And the next I heard of it was old Justice Lindgren, you know, downstairs, who was on the local board. And he came up to me and he chuckled and says, "What the hell did you do?" He says, "The state director called up the local board and gave me hell." And one of them, the local board, called me up and said, "Will you give us a list of all the people that are working out there?" I said, "Hell, I can't write to you. That's illegal." He says, "You give it to me at home, and I'll take care of it." We never had any more trouble with getting departments after that.
It reminds me of a story about that happened in Notre Dame at that time. You know, Gene Guth was working on the very smart physicist.
I know him.
He was an assistant professor at that time. He got put in one act. And they went down to talk to the local board chairman, who was a barber. And he says, "What the hell? Let the professor do the work. They don't know. He doesn't need an assistant." So they had to go do a little work to get that one straight. Now, boy, if they'd ever put Gene Guth in the Army, we'd have lost the war for sure.
Yeah, that's right. He's very...
what had he been working on at the time?
He was so incompetent in anything physical.
I see. It wasn't.
He would have turned the gun the wrong way around.
It wasn't that he was contributing so much.
He was an intellect, period.
I see. So essentially, the Illinois Department was primarily during the war years was really primarily involved
all in
just about 100%,
nearly 100%.
Okay.
I don't think I had many students at all that weren't working on some war.
They put their hand in it. Other than that, they were going to the Army.
Young Marvel Bullitt was working on.
Yeah.
He came to work with you, didn't he?
Yeah.
He wanted
to go to the war. He thought he ought to. I had to talk to him like hell. I said, "It's more important for you to stay here and do chemistry."
Yeah.
And I finally convinced him, but he thought, being a public servant family, he ought to be in the Army.
Mm-hmm. And then the war ended, and what was the department like after the war?
Well, it shook up a little bit till we got going again.
Mm-hmm.
Not very serious, so it wasn't a very serious transfer because our students were there and they wanted to come back and do their work, and we had money to keep them going.
That's right, you had a lot of people come back during that period. I just recently.
So we had plenty of students and plenty of people going and just went on. You didn't know much different, do you think?
Well, of course, I left you then.
Very little transfer. You didn't know the difference. You just kept working. A little different.
Roger was still chairman?
Well, yes, and he was running around the country, but he came back. Rose took care of it while he was gone.
Who was it that took care of?
William Rose.
William Rose, biochemist.
Biochemist.
He was the acting chairman for the last 2 or 3 years of the war, wasn't he?
Yeah, while Adams was in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Adams had to go to both the Germany and the Japan to help clean up the stuff there before he got back to us.
But you went to Germany after the war as well.
I was there for about a month in the late...
The war ended in August of 45.
Well, I was over there from September to October of 45.
Okay.
Well, I was still president of the American Chemical Center. That's right. That's what I was.
Oh, that's right. I want to come back to that as well. Then you went over there just to find out they had been doing in the rubber program.
It was an industrial research program that the Army put on to find out what they'd done. We went over there, the thing we found, the rubber team that I was on, we found out how they were doing this redox polymerization, which you could do faster. And they were trying to make a continuous process. And we adapted it to a lower temperature polymerization fast. And we could do it in 7 hour or... reduce the time of polymerization a lot.
Down and lower temperature.
And at 0 degrees, we got the same time cycle as we'd had before at 70 degrees and made a much better rubber.
Mm-hmm.
Narrower microwave distribution and better wear. And so that was that's the rubber we use today. It's synthetic. What do they call it? It was GRS or something else now.
SBR.
SBR, yeah. But that's the rubber that's used for practically all passenger tires yet.
Paying for research after the war was quite a different thing.
Practically all went to government-sponsored research after the war. You had the right propositions to live. I had some money from the National Science Foundation, but basically I haven't been supported by the Army and the Air Force since then.
You were at least on one of the review boards. You had something to do with the NSF for a while.
Yeah, for the first review board I was on when it went up.
And how did you happen to get on that review board? You were just...
stuck. Curly was the director. He and I were good friends.
That was it Curly?
Kurt, K-I-R. Walter Kurt, K-I-R.
He and I ran the Department of Chemistry.
The first head of the NSF chemistry program.
Okay.
Well, he was in Illinois as a student. Mm-hmm. And he and I managed to think while Adams was in the First World War, we did most of the work for him, worked together. So when he got this job, he wanted to come down and help me. That's why I was there. Mm-hmm. He went on to Harvard, got his degree, and then he was teaching, and they drafted him. As soon as they wanted the man to head that up, Adams and I decided Curtis the man we wanted.
The Illinois connection at work.
Yeah. Absolutely amazing.
Well, Kerner was a good man.
Yeah, very good.
And so you served on that review panel for a while.
2 years, I think. Mm-hmm. I remember 2 or 3 years after that.
And after the war, almost all your work was on polymers.
Practically all of it, yes. I worked on the rubber program from 1940 to 1945, and I worked on the for the Air Force at Wright-Patterson from 45 on to in the 50s. Mm-hmm. I worked with them longer than that. Been about 7 or 8 years ago, I quit that. Worked on high temperature stable polymers for them. The PBI came out of that study.
That's the
polyvinylamine, which is now being manufactured in 1 million pounds a year by Celanese. Just coming into production right now.
Okay.
The patents were run out.
Think they were waiting?
No, they were waiting for the opportunity. And when the asbestos problem came up, they saw an opportunity to sell their stuff in place of asbestos and give them a market. So that's what brought the market. It's expensive stuff. Mm-hmm. But geez, they had that airplane accident they had recently, it wouldn't have been any deaths. It doesn't burn except in 40% oxygen, but when you heat it, it doesn't give off smoke. Mm-hmm. And it chars without smoking and doesn't produce any toxic fumes.
I see.
And it's a comfortable wear like cotton.
Is it? What is the cost of that?
Oh, about $20 a pound. I don't know just exactly what they set it up for now, but that's what they were figuring it's going to be.
How did you happen to have the think of putting together these rings like that? I mean, that's a clever idea.
We've been working on heat stable polymers, and the Air Corps had a program at Monsanto to find out what chemicals suit high temperature better than any others. And the imidazole will take a high temperature without any change. Better than the other carbon chemical. Mm-hmm. So I decided I'd make a polymer head in it. So
let's see.
And then how to do it.
Yeah.
And we had the non flammable thing was an accident. We didn't know it was going to do that, but we'll burn it. It's 40% oxygen, but we don't have any cases where you have that much oxygen.
Yes, that's true. When you completely converted after the war to polymer chemistry, not doing much real organic, or you know, classical organic chemistry anymore, did you realize?
You couldn't call that not real organic chemistry.
I was going to say classical organic chemistry. I don't want to get into trouble.
It's real organic chemistry.
Right.
It's regular organic chemistry.
Actually, the description you just gave me of how the imidazole, because the benzimidazole polymer came about, is obviously that it came out of the organic chemistry. You understood that.
I have an organic, synthetic organic chemist yet, even though I make polymers.
Making polymers instead of monomers.
Yeah.
Okay. You must have foreseen that that was going to be the way...
No, but I knew.
I see.
That's all.
Yeah. I thought maybe that was a way of assuring your students of jobs in the future.
Well, I wasn't necessarily worrying about that, but it's what I like to do.
I see. Okay.
And, of course, it turned out to be that... Well, you've got about 7 chances in 10. If you're an organic chemist, you go to industry, you go to work on polymers.
Right. Okay.
And that helps.
Let's see. When did Curtin came to? In about 49 or so, or maybe early 50s.
Dave Curtin, Illinois.
When was
it? Would have been in the late 40s.
By the time you left, whatever that was.
A year or two after that.
Okay. Now, he had been your student where? At Notre Dame?
In Illinois.
Oh, he was a student in Illinois.
He was a PhD in Illinois. Then he went to postdocing to Columbia?
I can't remember. He was,
he was on the faculty at Columbia, I know,
and
for a while.
That's why we brought him back.
Right. And he'd made a bit of a splash there with some interesting work he'd done. Then J.C. Martin came.
Yeah, he was a postdoc from Harvard and stayed on. Applequist and Reinhardt came in about that time.
Applequist?
Yeah, I know. I know.
They're both still there, I think.
Yeah.
J.C. Martin left to go out somewhere in the...
He's still there.
Oh, is he still there? I thought he went
He's going to be head of the department next year.
Oh, I thought he went to somewhere. Did he go somewhere and come back? No. He never left.
I say this... Well, speaking a little out of turn because of this subject, but I don't think there's any doubt about who followed Kotowski, who was retiring in August. But that's not settled yet, unless it is. I have heard about it, but I don't think there's any doubt about it.
Let's see. I'm trying to think whether Reinhardt was. Was it Reinhardt that did the Grignard work with Karash, and then that's not the one. I think he may be he has a son. I think maybe at Columbia.
The Reinhardt we have, I forget, came from Yale, and he's a natural products man.
Okay. No, the other one I think was an inorganic one. Sorry. In 61, you left.
Retired.
Was there a retirement age at Illinois?
Yeah, I was within a year of the actual requirement of retirement. Mm-hmm. I could retire at 65, and I had to retire at 68.
Mm-hmm.
I was 67. And they offered me a job at Tucson when I was down there in the winter vacation. And I said, well, I'll think about it. I went home and found 40 inches of snow in my driveway. I'll take it.
pretty powerful argument, wasn't it?
First of March, 40 inches of snow.
And when you went to Arizona, you didn't have to, there was no teaching involved?
The first semester I was there, and after that I didn't teach anymore.
Okay, but you didn't take graduate students, you just took postdocs?
No, postdocs.
So it's essentially research.
I did that because I could have gotten graduate students, but they needed them for the other students. If there wasn't really, if I had money for postdocs, why should I compete with them for graduate students?
Mm-hmm.
The result is they didn't say, what's that old son of a bitch doing down here stealing my students?
Yeah.
We got along fine.
All right. So your contributions to the department there were to sort of stimulate research and...
We've done that, and as a result, the chemistry building, the new chemistry building now is the Carl S. Marble Laboratory of Chemistry. Oh. Officially announced.
Oh, in great,
March.
Steve. And then
it's
that
official now, but it'll be officially announced right. this coming March.
Oh, that's terrific.
If they have the Marble lectureship down there.
Yeah, they're
has,
that's an event.
Well, isn't the, well, there's a
we
Marble
have a
Marble symposium.
Symposium.
Marble symposium of that.
Every other year down there.
Yeah.
They use it for advertising and work pretty well.
Yeah, it's good publicity and the right kind for the university.
This is sort of a tough question. I, because I only got your bibliography yesterday, I couldn't go over a lot of the papers, but what do you think your most important contributions have been?
Training students.
Training students, okay. I got that impression from some of the things.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. Well, of the products we've made, I think polybenzimidazole has been the most important industrial development. That it's going to cover the 1 million pounds a year now, and will be, I think, a useful contribution to the industry. I don't think, if you go back over the other stuff, I can't figure it out. I picked a solvent for Orlon once that helped the DuPont company, and that was useful. But it's just good, solid, organic chemistry, I would say.
The work you did on hydrogen bonding,
well, it was
earlier
interesting,
on.
Though I believed it when we started, but it does help a lot in solubility predictions.
Mm-hmm. Okay, where did that come out of?
The company over in Bloomington wanted to a refrigeration system that didn't involve ammonia and water because that's too much pressure. So we started looking for organic combinations and found that we got increased solubility in a certain number of cases. We could tie that up with hydrogen bonding effects. I think that was really the first evidence that hydrogen or carbon and ammonia and things like that would bond with organic materials and give extra solubility. The water hydrogen bonding was well known, but the other stuff wasn't, nobody appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to Rodebush, who had been one of the hydrogen bonders. He thought I was crazy, but it turned out that I wasn't. Methylene chloride, for example, will bond with the ethers of the polyethylene glycol ethers. Gives you good, it's an excellent combination, just as good as molded water, except it's corrosive as the devil. We never can get a machine to hold it. Get HCl.
From the methylene chloride.
It oxidizes enough that if you get a little HCl and choose the machine up.
That's interesting. I would have thought that would have been less corrosive than the water.
Well, it's worse.
The ammonia system.
We never could find an inhibitor to cut that down.
Okay, I was going to. You've obviously been very committed to your work, but you have done some outside. You've had some outside activities. Remind me to go back to your ACS work, but I was talking about your hunting and fishing and bird watching.
I did a lot of local hunting, mainly rabbit hunting, quail hunting in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
I never hunted a big game. And I used to go fishing about a week in June and a month in August. Up in northern Minnesota, northern Wisconsin, Canada, until I got a little too old to take wear and tear.
And you've been a very avid bird watcher, I know.
Since 1940, I've been an avid bird watcher, yes.
And you've got,
wherever I go, I try to do a little bird watching.
I've heard it a different way, Speed, that you'd go somewhere if they promised to let you do bird watching.
Well, I wouldn't give a talk unless they promised
that. Yeah, right.
Very few trips have I ever made for bird watching alone. The only one I think I ever made was that Phil Lord and I once made a trip to South Texas for bird watching without any chemical activity to get us there.
Did you ever come up to New York and go to Jamaica Bay?
I've been there.
You've been there. It's a favorite place of ours. And so on. Yeah, let's go back to the ACS work. When did you get really involved in the ACS?
Well, that's another thing that Illinois was always very active in the ACS. And I was on local jobs, and I was a counselor. And they wanted me to run for president, and I did. And the first time I ran against Lindsley. I knew he wouldn't be elected then, because Lindsley was certainly be elected, and he was. When they asked me to run again, I thought I was safe to run again and wouldn't get caught. Usually he had to run three times before he'd get elected.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I could try twice, but the second time I got caught.
Like me, my politics, Pete, I ran twice and didn't get elected, and I thought I better not take a chance again.
Well, I thought I could go twice and not be elected, but I was elected the second time.
Okay, was that fairly consuming of your time during that period? Because that was during the war years, too.
It was because we didn't have any meetings that year, and well, Charlie Price ran the damn society.
Charlie Parsons.
Parsons.
Yeah. Oh. Charlie, who was the he was the executive director at that time.
Yeah. He ran.
He was the ACS for a long time. A dictator.
And he did a good job.
Oh, yeah, he did a good job.
A lot of people got bad at it, but I thought it was very easy to keep doing. You didn't have to worry about it. He did a pretty good job.
Yeah.
See, you were president how many years later?
65.
Okay, so that was 20 years later, right? Yeah.
Well, you were president twice.
No, well, I had a little holdover because Midgley died in office, and I took over from November to the end of the year, I think, the year before, in 44, and then had my turn. I wasn't not president two times, but just that period when I was president-elect.
Yeah, well, you had to take over for
Midgley. Took over for Midgley. He died. No, I didn't have to waste much time. I didn't remember. I suppose I spent more time on the ACS when I was chairman of the building committee. I had to do a lot of work then. And I had to do a lot of work on a committee for the UPAC to collect money to keep Biostyle, Gabriel, and Kraut. Get them back into publication after the war. I did a lot of work there.
You were in charge of the committee that supervised the building of the ACS building in Washington.
I was the major.
Yeah, Ralph Connor was chairman of the board then.
I think he
stuck you with that job, didn't he?
I tried to get out of it, but I didn't.
You were involved also when Universal Oil Products.
Midgley made the original contact, and I was the chairman when it was finished off, given to the ACS.
Okay, and then.
But I never do that. Charlie Price apart and still goes there.
Okay, and then it was some years later they just sold off all of that.
They sold that off. They did think it was a good thing for the society to open that.
Yeah, I see.
They put it in the trust, the money in trust.
Mm-hmm. Now you've gotten most of the awards that are given to chemists in this country, and including the Nichols, the Gibbs, the Priestley, the Ferguson. Any of them been particularly satisfying?
Well, they are nice things to have. They don't. I'm saving all the gold medals, so when I get old, don't have any money, I can buy much good whiskey with it.
You commented a little bit ago about one of the problems with organic chemistry today. Where do you think science is headed in general and chemistry in general?
Oh, I think we'll come back. We're not doing as much as we ought to. I think in chemistry, the life sciences are going to have a big boom. The chemistry of plant products and plant physiology is going to be a very important field.
Mm-hmm.
And the gene transfer stuff is going to be, I think that's good. If I were to start chemistry today, I think that's where I'd start. That's what organic chemistry was, that kind of stuff when I started.
Yeah.
They still don't know what they're doing, but it's good experimental work.
Mm-hmm.
They think they know what to do, but I don't. But but it's bound to be a big field, and there's an awful lot to do there. Human biochemistry, pretty well understood, but plant biochemistry, a plant at room temperature and atmospheric pressure can take carbon dioxide and water and build up carbohydrates. Why in the hell can't we? We ought to be able to, but we don't. We have to have pressure and temperature and all that stuff, but we'll find out how to get enzymes to work at room temperature, mm-hmm. atmospheric pressure. Yeah. We ought to be able to do that. Doug?
You picture organic synthesis done by pouring the stuff into the top, going through a column of enzymes? And
well, I don't know how they're
going to
do
like
that.
But that's the general...
I have no idea, but there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to do it. Atmospheric pressure and atmospheric temperature, just like plants do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It ought to be able to, man.
Yeah.
We do it.
Any advice for young people today, aside from going into these hot fields?
Do the stuff that's fun.
Okay, that seems...
If it isn't fun for you, goddamn, don't be a cat.
Yeah, it seems to be... it worked for you.
Very it has to work, that's it. In fact, I've talked quite a few people out of chemistry because it really don't do enough fun for them.
Mm-hmm.
If it's fun, it's all right. You're having a good time. I think, in general, the chemists have more fun at their profession than most people do. Don't you, Charlie?
I think that's true. I certainly feel that way myself.
Yeah, I think that a good chemist has fun at his work and they don't have to work. He's playing at it. Oh, he's seriously playing at it, but still it's... It's a pleasure to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't feel like you're put upon to go to work.
Great to get paid for something you love to do.
That's right. Very handy.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. I've come to the end of my list of questions. What have I forgotten? Either one of you. Other things that you think that would be useful for me that you have not written about?
Well, I think most of it's in that autobiography. There's an awful lot of stuff there that I put together. That's being published in Japan now.
Yes, you told me about that. Oh, I know. I wanted to get your mother's name and your sister's name.
My mother was Mary Lucy Wasson.
Washington?
Wasson.
Wasson.
W-A-S-S-O-N.
Wasson.
Let's see.
The name comes from a Danish name. The original Wassons went to Scotland with King Padu.
Yeah.
Then down through Scotland, Ireland, Scotch-Irish. And Marble is a name that comes from Normandy. And they went to England in 1092.
Mm-hmm.
And over here, sometime between 1670 and 1720, John Marble came over here. And on the way over, he got the L knocked out of him. So it's only one L over here. In England, it was two L's.
Well, there was a fellow Marvel that worked for you, or worked with
yeah,
Illinois anyhow.
He
had the two L's.
Was
L. Marvel.
Yeah, he was later.
That's
me.
Right. I noticed that.
But,
did he work with you, Steve?
No, he didn't, but I do.
Yeah.
See, and your sisters were?
Edith was the oldest one. She was older than I. Marie was the one next time to be. Gertrude was the youngest one. And the first two were never married. The second one was married to an Irishman named Riley. She was Gertrude Riley. R-E-I-L-L-Y.
Any of them still alive?
My sisters are all dead. I have two children, John Thomas, and Mary Catherine is spelled with an A. C-A-T-H-A-R-I-N-E.
And she's called Molly.
Molly. And Jack, John is Jack.
Yeah.
And he's got three boys, Scott, Chris, and Randy.
What's Molly doing these days?
She's buying for Hudson.
Still is in that. Yeah. She's been very successful in that.
Very successful. And she's very proud. Last year in December, her part of the store sold $1 million worth of goods in Detroit. And that was something.
Mm-hmm. Is she married?
No.
She's not married.
No,
I'm
not married.
They're very successful.
And your son's a chemist.
He got his degree at MIT, didn't he, with Koch?
Yeah. Well, with Buki.
With Buki.
And he is the general manager and chemical director of agricultural products division of Monsanto in St. Louis.
Do you ever urge him to be a chemist, or he just naturally?
No, he wanted to show he could be a better chemist than I was. He's done pretty well at it.
Yeah, your hard act to follow. Well,
he started in school at DePaul, Louisiana. That's a religious school. It doesn't fit with his background very well. Our family's not a very religious family. And he was doing pretty poorly over there. C's and D's. In the middle of his sophomore year, he came home and I said, "What the goddamn hell you want to do anyway? Since you're not doing any good over there."